If you measure it in sheer dollars, the Defense Department is a big winner in the 2018 budget, as expressed in that omnibus appropriations bill now in its final stages. Now the Pentagon has to spend more money than it anticipated, with 6 months of the fiscal year already over. One bright spot, military service members will continue to see more in their paychecks. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni joins me with the details. And Scott, let's start with the top line here. It's quite a big one relative to the last several years for DOD, isn't it?
Right. Well, it's about $655 billion, just slightly under that. And that compared to previous years when it comes to base budget, about $20, $30 billion more. When you add OCO in, things change
overseas
a little bit.
Contingency operations.
That's right. Emergency war funding. So it's a lot of money, but it's not a crazy amount compared to previous years. What we're seeing in the 2019 budget, that's something that is a real huge increase compared to previous years, which is about $700 billion is what they're requesting.
And that fight, of course, lies ahead. So talking about 2018, then, what are some of the highlights?
Sure. Well, I think one of the biggest highlights that's going to affect the most people is the military pay increase. That's the biggest one since 2010. It's 2.4% increase for military members. The thing about this is that military service members have already seen this increase in their paychecks since January. So you have to remember you're not going to see anything more in the next 2 weeks than you've already been seeing before that.
It just means it'll continue and they won't have to claw any of it back because of some crazy budget disaster.
Exactly. So, that's something that they're actually paying for now. In strength is something that has become a big deal. You know, the military is building back up. It looks like the total military strength is going to go up to 1,322,500 active duty troops, and then about 817,000 reserve troops. So that's an increase of about 17,000 active duty and 10,000 reserve troops. You're going to see a lot of that in the Air Force. The Air Force is building a lot. Army's also building up small amounts in the Marine Corps and maybe about 3,000 in the Navy.
And it looks like there's more money for defense, health, and family programs.
Yeah, this is something that Congress bumped up by about $750,000. So $750 million. The bill contains $34.4 billion for defense and health and family programs. And within that health, that extra boost, that goes to pay for cancer research, traumatic brain injury, and also sexual assault prevention. So some areas that DOD is finally catching on to, especially traumatic brain injury and sexual assault, something that hasn't been as funded in the past.
So it doesn't really roll back the costs that much of health care for military members and their families.
No, not at all. I mean, in previous years, we've seen a lot of TRICARE reforms, things like actually adding copays or making clinics open 24/7, helping with daycare, things like that. This year, they tried to scale back some of those TRICARE reforms, and they're just going to kind of see how things play out. But there's still a big rising cost when it comes to defense healthcare that needs to be paid for, especially as more and more retirees enter the system.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio Scott Massioni, but it sounds like, given the size of the increase that you mentioned, several tens of billions of dollars, that the military did not get all of the hardware and platform and acquisition increases it might have liked.
Well, in this bill, they got a good bit of the procurement that they wanted. And in fact, there's about 148 extra planes that they didn't even ask for in this. And you can probably help or congratulate parochial interest for getting that in there. But the deal is that they have to spend this money within the 6 month period that they have until October, when the fiscal year actually ends.
Yeah, so they had a figure they were going on under the continuing resolution. So say 50% of that is gone.
Right.
So they have the remaining 50% plus 50% of what would have been the increase.
Right.
And so that's billions and billions that they have to spend. So do they have some more flexibility, or can they reprogram? What's going on with the strategy for getting that money spent?
Right. So luckily for the Defense Department, when it comes to procurement, they have 3 years by law to spend any kind of procurement money. So that's no issue at all. When it comes to operations and maintenance money, that's something different. If you think about it, you can't train a soldier twice when he comes in. You know, he's going to go through boot camp. You can't put the new troop through boot camp twice. So that money by law only goes for 1 year. So how is DoD going to spend this? Well, there's something called an 80-20 rule. That means in the past 2 months of a fiscal year, the Defense Department can not spend more than 20% of its budget within there. So it's forced to spend 80% of its budget outside of that time. The Congress has changed that. So now in the past 2 months, they can spend 25% of that money in the last 2 months. Another thing they've done is they've changed the reprogramming authority for DoD. Reprogramming is where DoD can take money from one fund, put it into another one, and they just have to notify Congress that they've done that. DoD now has the authority to do this from $15 million up to $20 million. And once it hits that $20 million threshold, they have to go to Congress and say, can we please do this? And Congress will either say yes or no. So just a little more flexibility in moving things around.
Because the military leaders have been talking and warning for several years now that they don't have enough money to maintain readiness. If you look at what they're doing in terms of troop training and the new platforms and other general budget increases, do you anticipate that they'll now say, yeah, we can give the nation the readiness that we feel it ought to have?
So a few of the service chiefs have said that they feel the readiness, if they continue getting the funding that they're getting now, the readiness will finally hit a level that they want around 2020, 2021. So, they're getting there. And in this next budget, there's going to be an extreme bump up if Congress allows it. So, the possibility of that happening is very much there and in a short amount of time. So they're not going to have as much to complain about in future years.
And there has been the publication of a new defense strategy in recent months. Mm-hmm. Does this budget in any way jive with what is in the defense strategy? I mean, long term, they've got to think of near adversaries becoming rival nations, as they have put it, and Russia and China increasing spending and so on. Does this begin to get the United States to where it needs to be in terms of what the military leadership anticipates the situation in the world will look like?
Yeah, and I think to a degree it does. The defense strategy is looking at more near-peer competitors, like you said, China and Russia. So the military is trying to expand to deal with those issues while also fighting wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, and all the other countries you can think of.
Yeah,
in that
what
area.
Is the OCO relative to this past year for this current year?
The OCO's a little bit over $65 billion.
Still up there, pretty good.
Still pretty high. And it's a good amount of money, and that's going to be going toward defense funding, going toward black operations, things like that. So there's a lot going on in the world. Just depends on how these actual procurement programs are going to be used and if they'll even be used in the future, depending on these guesses that the budgeteers are making.
And Congress had earlier complained that some of the OCO was actually a slush fund for things that were not overseas contingencies. That'll probably continue a little bit, at least for this fiscal year.
Yeah, maybe a little bit for this fiscal year, but it seems like they're getting back into moving things back into the base budget and away from putting base budget in the OCO, which was an issue for planning especially.
Federal News Radio Scott Mossione, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Check out his story and all of our budget coverage at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.